You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Myra Flato. That devastating loss of life by the Southeast Asia tsunami, an unexpected natural disaster, has, at least to my way of thinking, forced us to think about the possibilities of what other natural disasters await us that we could prepare for, if not prevent. And I think at the top of my list is the threat posed by some unseen, undetected asteroid or comet. You just have to look at the craters on the moon to see how many times our neighborhood has been the target for fast-moving rocks and other near-Earth objects. And last October, the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics issued a position paper echoing those fears, calling for the creation of an organization within the U.S. government responsible for planetary defense. It would not only search for comets and asteroids that might threaten us, but develop a way of nudging a near-Earth object out of the way, out of its orbit, so it doesn't hit us. It also called for sending missions to several asteroids to gather information about how to deflect them. Well, NASA, the space agency, is already involved in tracking near-Earth objects, and now it's about to launch a mission to try to find out more about the interior of a comet, information that could tell us more about how comets form and perhaps how they could be deflected. Deep Impact, it's called. That's the NASA mission to deliberately crash an object into a speeding comet. It's scheduled to be launched next week. What will this mission tell us? And what about protecting the Earth from a speeding comet or an asteroid? Joining me now to tackle both of those topics is Donald Yeomans. He is co-investigator on the Deep Impact mission. He is also head of the Near-Earth Object Office at NASA's JPL in Pasadena. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Yeomans.
Thank you.
Sounds pretty exciting, this mission. It sounds like a movie. It's got the same name, doesn't it?
Well, we had the name first, but it does have some similarities, yeah.
Why crash a probe into a comet? First, it's going to be launched next week, right?
That's right. Next Wednesday, if all goes well, we have a couple of weeks in our launch window, so it could go the following day or any time until the 28th of January.
Well, don't we know what a comet is made out of? Why do you want to crash a probe into it?
Well, most of what we know about comets is from ground-based observations, telescopic observations, and when comets, which are icy bodies, get near the sun, they start throwing up an atmosphere and dust particles and effectively hide the core or the nucleus of the comet. And so in order to study that, we really have to go and look at it very up close and personal with a spacecraft.
Mm-hmm. And it's not going to bring a sample back or anything like that, is it?
No, it's not going to bring a sample back, but on the other hand, it's not just going to fly by and take a few snapshots either. We've got two spacecraft mated to one another, and 24 hours out, the spacecraft will separate. The impactor, which is mostly copper, will collide with the comet at 10 kilometers per second, and the mother spacecraft will deflect so that it does not collide, and it will put on the brakes, so to speak, and follow the impactor by about 15 minutes to observe the crater being formed.
Is it possible to study a comet, and as I mentioned before, is it possible to deflect one if we saw one, you know, to move it out of the way just a bit if we saw one heading for us?
Well, we do. We do have the technology if we find them early enough. That's the key, and that's why NASA's involved with about seven ground-based programs to discover these things early. If we have 10 or 20 years' time, we do have the technology to simply slow them down a few millimeters per second so that in 10 or 20 years' time, when they're predicted to hit the Earth, they simply miss because we've slowed them down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with the AIAA paper that we should create a formal organization within the U.S. government for planetary defense?
Well, it's a topic that should be raised within some agency to a slightly higher level than it is now. I mean, NASA's doing a great job now tracking them, finding them, and that's the first step, to be sure. And we're also computing impact probabilities and getting this information out to the public and media fairly quickly. But in the unlikely event that something should be on an Earth-threatening trajectory, the chain of command within NASA is clear, but after that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, there was it's always been, you know, there. And in fact, there was a West Wing episode a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Did you see that one where they picked it up and dropped it like a hot potato? They didn't want to touch the issue either, even on the fiction program. They didn't have to deal with it because it missed us. But you would
That's
think
right.
there's going to be something with our name on it out there because, you know, as I say, look how many times we've been hit by objects that we don't see the craters here on Earth, but you can certainly see them in the moon and other places.
Well, the Earth is being inundated with small particles daily.
Yeah.
Something like 100 tons of material comes down in the form of meteors or fireballs. It's the large ones we have to worry about. And, of course, as you say, the moon is covered with craters. And the only reason the Earth isn't covered with craters is because the water and wind erosion quickly fills them in. But we do get hit.
What size comet or what size asteroid would it take to create, sufficient damage? Would it take a big one, a mile across, a few hundred meters? What kind of size do you think?
Well, anything larger than a half a mile would cause global consequences. Mm-hmm. Anything above about 140 meters or so would punch through the atmosphere without being stopped, and anything smaller than that would likely be stopped by the atmosphere, but cause an air blast, which is also a problem, of course.
Mm-hmm. What do we know about this comet that we're sending the Deep Impact mission on? Is it? It's not anywhere in danger of hitting us, is it?
Oh, no. It's out, gets closest to the sun out near the orbit of Mars, so it's not in any danger of getting on an Earth-threatening trajectory. But it's thought to be about 9 miles in extent by 3 miles by 3 miles. So it's sort of like a fat pickle, but it's enormous. But we don't really know what its interior composition is. Is it a snowball? Is it a ice ball, dirty ice ball, or a icy dirt ball? Is it solid? Is it layered? Is it have interior voids? Depending on how it's made up, we'll see different craters formed, either large or small, or slowly or quickly. Ejecta will either escape the comet or not. And by observing just exactly what does happen, we can go back and say which model actually represents the observations best.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Scott in Harrison Township, Michigan. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira.
Hi there.
Listen, Robert Heinlein pointed out years and years ago that if you wait until it's in the neighborhood, it's too late. He wrote a very excellent little short story about a WPA-type project where a bunch of kids were taken out to the asteroid belt area, and they figured out the shape and everything of the body, then planted a rocket engine to change its trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
The thrust of the story was, if you don't do it out there, you're not going to be able to do it.
Dr. Yeomans, true?
Well, you're absolutely right. If you don't find the problem early, the problem gets much larger than it has to be. So if we find an Earth-threatening object 10, 20, 30 years ahead of time, we do have the technology, a rocket engine, a solar concentrator to boil off the surface and create a jet effect. And so all you need is about a few millimeters per second change in velocity 20 years ahead of time to do the job. And that's not really that much.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Of course, what you don't want to do is blow it up, right?
Well, you don't want to blow it up if it's a year or so from impact, because then you've got a shotgun effect rather than a single bullet. Mm-hmm. But if you were to blow it up 10 or 20 years ahead of time, all the fragments would disperse and almost all of them would miss the Earth. So that's a viable option, although it's not as elegant as a solar concentrator or...
Mm-hmm. The network that you're talking about that NASA has already set up, is it sufficient to detect some or those comets and asteroids that you think would be threatening us?
The goal of NASA's Near Earth Object Program is to find 90% of the larger than 1 kilometer sized asteroids by the end of 2008, and we're on pretty good schedule to meet that goal, but. NASA's actually chartered a study and to look at what would it take, what sort of observational program would be required to find 90% of the objects that are larger than 140 meters, because those are the ones that can actually punch through the Earth's atmosphere and cause damage. So we'd like to move into the next phase of near-Earth object discovery.
And what would that be?
Well, it's to find the smaller ones, the ones that are 140 meters and larger rather than the 1 kilometer-sized mm-hmm. objects and larger.
And when you say you're being so diplomatic here, when you say we'd like to move into that phase, I see dollar signs coming up in my head.
Well,
like you don't have those dollar signs.
We don't. But we have done the cost-benefit study to show that it could be done from the ground using large wide-field telescopes, or it could be done from space more quickly.
Well, cost-benefit. So when you look at what the tsunami did over there and the 200,000 people who've lost their lives, what is a cost-benefit study? I mean, what is it worth? What are the lives like that could be taken by a comet or an asteroid hitting Earth from outer space?
Well, the result of the cost-benefit study was that it makes a great deal of sense, even in the first year of this enhanced program. But it's a question of priorities. You've got.
I know it's not your. I'm not trying to put you on the hot seat here. I know it's not your decision.
But No, it's not.
But you would think that we've been talking about this for years here, and you think that. As I say, I'm using this time to talk about it because it's fresh in people's mind, those terrible pictures we see coming back from the tsunami, to sit back and think, there's an asteroid that could be out there with our name on it, and we're just sitting here going to be surprised again if we don't do something.
Well, we are doing something. Now, whether we're doing enough is open to question. But 15 years ago, we were in blissful ignorance of all of this. We had no one looking systematically for these near-Earth objects, and mm-hmm. they were whizzing past the Earth on a fairly routine basis. We just didn't know about it.
Let's go to Bill in Brookline, Mass. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a comment. These ideas are born in the minds of atheists. They don't believe in a creator, and it's just such a waste of taxpayer money to think that we're going to shoot down a comet. Unless it spawns technologies, and it's complete colossal waste of money. I'll just give you an example. In the first Gulf War, 39 Scuds fell into Israel, and there was about 2 or 3 deaths. One Scud fell in and right on a base of Americans in Saudi Arabia and killed tens, 30 or 40 people.
Oh, try to tie that into the comet somehow, or an asteroid.
We don't even have the technology with all the Patriot missiles to shoot down one Scud missile heading our way, to think that we're going to... The world is not just run by... It's not Hefker, and it's a Hebrew word. It's not run by... it's run by a creator. And if we're going to get hit by something, we're going to hit by something. We're not going to shoot it out of the sky.
All right. That's a point of view. Thank you for calling. 1-800-989-8255. We're talking about asteroids and comets and the Deep Impact mission this hour, and talking the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. So there are some people who say, hey, if there's one with our name on it, it's God's willing, we're going to get hit.
No, I don't buy that at all. I think God's willing, and his plan is for us to actually reach out and stop these things. We have the technology. We have the ability. We have the native intelligence to do something about it. It's one of the few natural disasters that we can predict and we can do something about.
Alex and Raleigh, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi.
Hi there.
My question is, it seems to me that if NASA discovered that an asteroid was going to hit, then, this would cause grave financial consequences for the economy and, also possibly mass hysteria. So my question is, if NASA did discover this, would that actually be information that would be revealed to the public? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, that's a good question. In fact, that was one of the issues we dealt with early on. Do we do our computations and observations in relative secrecy and then only announce when there's a definitive collision some years down the road, or do we maintain all of our computations and all of our announcements on the web in real time, as we put it, so that there's no secrecy, no cover-up issues? And that's the latter is what we're doing. We're putting everything out there, and we're issuing sober statements, and our computations are there. They're updated as new observations come in. So we're making everything we do free and open to the public on a daily basis.
You say we have the technology to change the course of a comet, but we haven't tried it yet. Shouldn't we, and that's one of the paper, the things the AIAA paper says, we should at least try it. We say we can do it. Should there not be a mission to try it?
Well, that's actually an option that's being considered. Rusty Schweikert, the Apollo 9 astronaut, and a good friend, is actually proposed a B-612 mission to use one of the Prometheus spacecraft, a nuclear-powered spacecraft that's being developed within NASA, to actually nudge a benign asteroid, slow it down a great deal, but just show that it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the missions that's under consideration for this Prometheus project in the coming decade.
We call this the vitamin mission, the B6, B12, did you?
Oh, it's named after the asteroid that the little prince was sitting on.
Oh, is that right?
Children's
Oh, right. Well,
yeah.
How silly of me. It's already got a great name. So, but is this just a thinking paper? Is it just in Rusty's mind and going nowhere? Or, you know, is anybody – of course, it's going to take money. There's the magic dollar signs again.
Well, it's true. It will take money, and it's a concept study. It certainly isn't funded yet, but it's being seriously considered within NASA as a possible option, as are a number of other options. But there was a time not so long ago when this sort of thing was pie in the sky and wouldn't even be considered.
I would think that the natural disasters that were once pie in the sky, like we've just seen, would get people to reconsider these things.
Well, I think people are reconsidering these near-Earth objects. It wasn't, as I mentioned earlier, about 10, 20 years ago, people didn't worry about these because we didn't know about them, really. Now, as we discover more and more of them and people understand that we're going around the sun in a swarm of near-Earth objects, many of which could hit us.
Didn't we have one come close recently?
Well, we have... some come close on a monthly basis.
How close is close?
Well, certainly within the Earth's, within the orbit of the moon, we had one not so long ago that actually came beneath the distance of the highest Earth orbiting satellites. So they do.
Wow.
And on a daily basis, we get hit with basketball-sized objects. On a weekly basis, we get hit with Volkswagen-sized objects. They just don't punch through the atmosphere, but they cause...
All
brilliant
right.
Fireballs.
We've got to go, Don, but I'm scared enough already just here talking about it. I want to thank you for taking time to join us. Don Yeomans, head of the Near-Earth Object Office at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena and co-investigator of the Deep Impact mission. We'll watch for its launch next week. Have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it's more of a fantastic voyage, a new look at heart disease and cholesterol. What should we really watch out for now? Stay with us. We'll be talking about it.